Richard Miller has given me a title for today's reading and discussion, and that's it, Parting Promises from John 14:15-26. And the passage comes in the middle of what's called Jesus's farewell discourse, which is John 13-17. Oh, and by the way, you will find an interest. I hadn't spoken to the worship team at all, but you'll find that those things we've been singing about will come up as we read together later. Let me remind you of the sequence leading up to our reading. Before we get to the reading, a bit about the background to it. Jesus' farewell discourse, just to remind you, familiar passage of scripture in chapter 12, Mary anointing Jesus' feet. Do you remember? With that very expensive ointment. And the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Remember the story? And there were those there, the disciples said, why was all this money spent on this, not given to the poor? But Jesus said, no, she did it for the day of my burial. At the same time, many had heard that Lazarus had been brought back from the dead. And they were gathering to see Jesus, believing him to be the Son of God. At the same time, John tells us that behind the scenes, the chief priests were making plans to kill both Lazarus and Jesus. The very next day to the anointing of Jesus' feet was that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Do you remember? When Jesus went in, riding on a donkey, and triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Do you remember it? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The whole of Jerusalem and the region around were buzzing with this name, Jesus. From an earthly standpoint, it was the height of his popularity. Everybody was going for Jesus, the one who was the miracle worker. And they were even saying, yes, he is the Son of God. So much so that the Pharisees, they were the other group, of course, as well as the chief priests, the Pharisees were those who were uncomfortable with Jesus. And the Pharisees said one to another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look, the whole world is going after him. This is all background to our reading. At this point, after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus tells the disciples to find an upper room and to prepare to celebrate the feast of the Passover. On this occasion, you remember, they called it the Last Supper. No sooner had they sat down, ready to eat, when Jesus, the host, gets up, grabs a towel, and washes the disciples' feet. Having done that, sitting down to have the feast, he tells them to humbly wash each other's feet, to honour one another, to show love to one another. And then he added, and by this, honouring one another and loving one another, by this the world will know you are my disciples, if you show love one to another. You remember it, yeah? You're still with me? Okay, good. And then, of course, Jesus takes the bread and the wine, and he tells the disciples that this represents his body and blood, and they should do it in remembrance of him, saying he was going to be betrayed and would not be with them only a little longer. He was going away, and where he was going, they couldn't come. He was going to his Father. Can you imagine the thoughts racing through their mind? Jesus celebrated in Jerusalem, everybody going for Jesus, height of his popularity. Now he's talking about bread and the wine, his body, to remember him, that he's going away. Wow, they've been with him for 3 years, constant companions. They loved him, he loved them. You can imagine the consternation. This one, who they trusted and followed, was now talking about going away. Now, with that background, let's read today's portion. If you love me, you will obey my command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever.
the Spirit of truth.
The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us, not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. I don't know if you picked up 3 points or promises like I did. There weren't verse numbers, were there, in the reading? But verse 16, first point, or promise, another counselor with you forever. Secondly, he, the Holy Spirit, lives with you and will be in you. Finally, Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. But aren't we alive? What does Jesus mean? You can imagine the thoughts in their minds as Jesus is speaking with them. Break down on that word counselor. In verse 16, another counselor in the original word, another, is allos. I know because I looked it up. And it means one besides, another of the same kind. So put it this way, it means one beside me and in addition to me, but one just like me. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. So you see, the Holy Spirit assures continuity with what Jesus did and taught. He takes the things of Christ and reveals and reminds us of them and helps us to live in the good of them. Now the other 2 points in 17 and 19, the Holy Spirit in you, and because I live, you will live also. I want to consider those with other scriptures. Firstly, all familiar scriptures, aren't they? Jesus talking with Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So who said it first? Jesus. Jesus says, you need to be born again. The second scripture I want to bring to your attention is Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. We're talking about breath in our lungs. God breathed into Adam, the first man, and he became a living soul. It's the breath of God that makes us, as it were, alive. But then in John 20, Jesus talking, he says, John records, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. But the first time he said it, I bet they were frightened. Because they were all in an upper room for fear of the Jews, and suddenly who comes through the wall? Jesus. Through the wall. Peace be with you. But then he shows them his hands and his side. Then he says it again. Peace be with you. And that they were overjoyed, weren't they, when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed. The Holy Spirit. I believe those disciples at that point were born the second time, born again. First time it was, as we saw by Genesis, but then the second time they were born again. Now I think they're beginning to understand when Jesus said to them, you will live also. So we see God at creation breathes, as I said, his spirit on Adam. He becomes a living soul. Jesus on the day of his resurrection, that's the day he came to them, breathes the spirit into his disciples and they're born again. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Have you made these promises yours? Do you believe in Jesus and by faith have trusted in him as your Saviour? Then, if that is so, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Wow. Do we need to be reminded of that, don't we, sometimes? The Holy Spirit lives within us. Before I tell you a couple of God stories, and some of them we've heard them before, forgive me, you know what it is when you get old, you tell the same stories again. But forgive me, but wait a moment, before we hear those stories, I just want to look at some more scriptures on the Holy Spirit. John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down as a dove and remain on him. I would have not known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Taking it back over to Acts, we know this, don't we? Jesus was talking with the disciples on one occasion. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so, in just over 6 weeks from the promise given to the disciples, they not only received the Holy Spirit, but were also baptized, fully immersed in him. Now this empowering, as we know, of the disciples was not the end, but it was the beginning. Holy Spirit is for us to receive and to be empowered to live like Jesus too. Thought you might like to see that one. It's a bit of a misty because we hadn't got a good thing to reproduce it, but the guys have done a great job for me, thank you. But a young friend of ours went to Mozambique to work with Heidi Baker, and they're the young children, young kids who've been forced into prostitution on the streets. Others have been boy soldiers and, you know, terrible backgrounds. But they came to know Jesus, and they were they were worshipping and praying for one another. And our friend, Rachel, was it? She was there, and she just took a photograph. And she didn't realize until the photograph was developed that there were tongues of fire on the young people, on their heads. You see these tongues of fire? You can probably see it a little better, just a little better in that. So just pass it round. So you see, it wasn't just for then in the Acts of the Apostle. It happens today. Holy Spirit gets poured out on people. Before we sing and pray for one another, a few God stories. Our daughter went to a specialised nursing down at a place called Alton, and she met this guy who had been a chef at the hospital. And guess what? They fell in love. And after a bit, she realised it was getting serious. So she said to this guy, I'm sorry, but our relationship can't go any further because, you see, you're not a Christian. Can you imagine? Anyway, a few weeks later, he's invited to come and meet her mum and dad and stay for the weekend. Can you imagine him saying, oh, I wonder what they're like. What am I going to for the weekend? Well, anyway, he came. By this time, you've gathered, haven't you? It was Jacqueline and Richard. And Richard came and met us, and I assume we weren't too bad anyway. He agreed to come to church with Jacqueline and ourselves on the Sunday. And we were having a great time. Lots of young people in the church. And they had a trombone and a flutist and a violinist. Oh, you would be envious of all the folks, the gifting we had. And here the worship was going. And halfway through the worship, Mike, one of the young elders, stopped it and said, I think God's already spoken to some people here. And if God's spoken to you, I want you to come out, come forward and accept Jesus as your saviour. I noticed Richard leant over to Jacqueline and say, yeah, I'm only a visitor. Can I go out? And Jacqueline said, yes. Two young men went forward. And Mike, knowing Mike, you don't know him, but if you know Mike, he makes them do it right. I want you to say it out loud if you really mean it. I give up my career to you. I give up my career to you. I give my money to you. I give you my money to you. I give all my associations with, you know, all my relationships. I give them to you, Jesus. I surrender all. There's me sitting at the back thinking, he knows if he doesn't become a Christian, he can't go with Jacqueline. You can imagine I had to repent later. Because no sooner had Mike said that, and he said these three words, come, Holy Spirit, whoosh. I've never seen it. Richard was went, whoosh. And there was Richard, speaking in another tongue which he didn't know, nobody else knew, and he was rejoicing in God and praising him. Half the congregation were in tears. It was so much of God that changed Richard and this other young man. And I'm sitting at the back saying, sorry, Lord, sorry. I can see this is the real thing, Lord. I'm sorry. Bless that young man. And we've seen that young man grow. And we give glory to what God did that day. Louise, our daughter, was 3 going on 4. And she came to know Jesus as a saviour. That's a story in itself. When she was 5 going on 6, she went to a conference with us, with a chap called Don Double, and to the children's meetings, and afterwards she came and she said, Mum, I can speak in another language. She had been touched by the Holy Spirit. And when she was going on 6 with her friends at school, they were praying for the sick and seeing them healed. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. And finally, forgive me, but you know it, I was 17, and I went up to the Methodist Central Hall in London, and there was a missionary, and he said, I'm not asking you to go to Timbuktu. I'm asking you to just ask God where he wants you. Does he want you in Bromley, as it was where I lived? Does he want you where you are? Because it's not a question of being a missionary in Timbuktu, or it might be, but God wants you to be a missionary where you are. Well, I went home. I couldn't sleep. I was down the side of my bed. I must have fallen asleep in the end, but I just said, Lord, please, Lord, I don't know where you want me, but Lord, I want to serve you. Well, I woke up in the morning, and I got up. Oh, did I love Jesus? I can't explain it, but oh, whew, it was fantastic. Oh, I felt such a release and relief and a love for Jesus. And as I went out of my bedroom, and I had to go through, we lived in an old semi-detached house, and I had to go through the girl's bedroom, and oh, as I went through, I was speaking some, what on earth? Oh, I felt so happy. This went on for a fortnight. And then it stopped. Do you know why it stopped? I belonged to a group that said it was not for today. I loved them. I don't want to miss, they were great friends of mine. But they said, no, the gift isn't for today. It was only in the Acts of the Apostles at the beginning of the church. And we don't know what you got, but it's not of God. Bless them. I forgave them. I love them. So I stopped it. I quenched the Holy Spirit in my life. Well, 17 years later, I'm 34. I'm now big white missionary in Africa with Gene in Dar es Salaam. And I'm invited to go to the Anglo-Catholic Cathedral to see 3 days of prayer and healing. And in that 3 days, I see the blind see, the lame walk, a little girl, baby girl, died, and a Christian doctor said, yes, this little one is dead. They rushed her to the front. Brother Edmund John prayed for the little one, and she came back to life, full of life. A lady bowed down and full of demons, and we saw the demons go, and this little old lady get up, set free. I went home to Jean. I said, Jean, it is as we said it is. It is today. Healing and everything. Oh. She said, Jean said, well, I hope it is. Because that's who I come to serve in Africa. Well, about a week or so later, I can't remember the time span, I had to go to Nairobi. And I was staying with these friends. And I told them what had happened. And my friend Ted looked over to a friend who was visiting from Canada, and he said, are we going to let him go to bed like that? I said, what do you mean, let me go to bed like that? They said, no, come on. They laid their hands on me, and they said, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, wow. You know, God had forgiven me for quenching him 17 years before, and the Holy Spirit came on me, and I was going around saying, prolestelamite, prolestelamite, prolestelamite. And filled with such a love for Jesus, and I just felt from my head down to my feet, I felt like this heat come upon me as the Holy Spirit filled me. But I don't know about you, but I leak. And so every so often, I just need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is in me, he's on me, and it's thrilling. This is the same Holy Spirit. For Richard, it was instant. In and on, wasn't it? For others, it's the time lag. But it's the Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you do, then you have the Holy Spirit, don't you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's for you, if you haven't. Do you, like me, feel that you need a refreshment and a refilling? Well, I'm going to invite you to come out for prayer. But before we do, I want us to sing a chorus. Sure, we got it on the screen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.